Jesus says to the two blind men in this story, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you'd think that would be pretty obvious, wouldn't it? Two blind men sitting at the side of a dusty road, most likely begging. If I were one of Jesus' disciples walking along the road with him, I would probably try to help him out by whispering in his ear, "Jesus, they're blind. They probably want you to heal them." "Oh, thank you, Peter. That's helpful. For a moment, I thought they might be tourists and need directions to Jerusalem." It's ridiculous, isn't it? Of course Jesus would have known that the men were blind. But nevertheless, he asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Why does he ask that question? I think there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, in asking them, he is treating them with respect. He is showing us they matter. The crowd was trying to quieten them down and get past them. They probably saw these two men as a distraction and a nuisance. So in stopping to talk to them, Jesus is challenging the crowds to show care for those in need. Those who are vulnerable, in need, the least important, they are all welcome in the kingdom. Remember how Jesus welcomed the children in chapter 19. The disciples rebuked their parents for bringing children to Jesus as if they were a nuisance, but Jesus said, "No, let them come." And he took time to pray for them and bless them. He's doing something similar here. Again, he is stopping to give attention to people it would be easy to overlook. The crowd is on its way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and I suppose there's a great carnival atmosphere, a holiday atmosphere. You can understand that they just want to keep moving. In the next chapter, they will be shouting Hosanna and waving their palm branches as Jesus enters Jerusalem. "You guys there on the side of the road, you keep quiet. The rest of us, we're on our way to Jerusalem." But Jesus slows everyone down, stops them in their tracks, and talks to the two blind men. People matter to Jesus. The hungry, the lame, the children, the lepers, a grieving father, a bleeding woman, a feverish mother-in-law, those bound by evil spirits, a Samaritan, two blind men. The Lord Jesus does not overlook anyone. We all matter to him. He will stop and listen to each one of us. That's why we pray to him. He will listen. So that's the first thing. These two men matter. And Jesus is showing us that in the kingdom, people matter. You and I matter. And secondly, I think he asks this question because he wants to test the men's faith. What's the hardest thing going on in their lives, and do the men believe that Jesus can do anything about it? That's a question of faith, isn't it? And he wants to find out directly from them if they have faith. When asked what they wanted, they could have easily said, "We want some food," or "We want some money." Those would have been quite natural requests. They may have heard that this prophet from Galilee could feed thousands of people without much effort, so he should be able to drop a couple of bread rolls into their laps, or a few coins instead. Or they might have said, "We need jobs. We need a way to provide for ourselves. Can you help us? Maybe you know someone who gives work to people with disabilities." But do they have faith for healing? This is what Jesus' question will uncover. They call Jesus Lord and Son of David, two titles of authority that point to Jesus' authority. They call out, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison in the Greek. But do they really know who they are calling out to? If they really believe that the Lord of heaven and earth is passing by, they're not just going to ask for money or food or employment assistance. They're going to ask for something much more significant, much more permanent. And that's what we see happen. They ask for healing. Verse 32. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. They have faith in Jesus for healing. Ironically, although they are blind, they see who Jesus is and believe in him. If Jesus asked you the same question, what would you say? If he said to you, what do you want me to do for you? What would be your answer? It's a slightly disconcerting question, isn't it? There's probably a whole jumble of things in our minds that we could ask Jesus about. My eyesight isn't the best, but I'm not exactly blind. But I also have some other ailments that I would like Jesus to heal. There are things in my immediate family that I would like Jesus to deal with, and in my wider family. And I haven't got these. I haven't even got to the issues in the church or crime in our society, issues like the cost of living or world peace. So if Jesus said to me, what do you want me to do for you? My first response might be, well, how much time do you have? There's so much, isn't there? But let's take a moment to pause and think about it and try and focus our thoughts. If Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? What might you answer?